Hey, this is Neil Burns from Draw the Line. You're listening to Monday Night Talk on WATD. I'm back in the saddle again, baby.
And we are back. We want to thank State Representative Jeff Deal for joining us for a couple of moments and talking about a bunch of fun stuff like the tech tax, the gas tax, and Dan Winslow. I mean, who knew? I mean, this is a guy who was in the race for U.S. Senate and is now no longer going to be part of the House of Representatives here in Massachusetts. So it's a bummer. Stupid.
Now, did you see they're going to repeal the tech tax?
They are, yeah. Obviously, the governor... The governor wants to somehow, for some reason, wants to institute another tax. He wants to replace, even though, as you know, as the representative said, is that the benchmarks for the past since the start of the new fiscal year, we have seen over and above what they had they had predicted.
Well, they had the budget was like $1.5 billion or something they were trying to pass. And that when they cut it down and they got something like $500 or $600 million to pass, and that little tech tax was in there.
Yeah. $161 million. That's what the representative said. If and when they repeal it, what will be omitted. But I mean,
from what Senator Murray said, it's going to be done, and they supposedly by the 21st of September it's gone. But people have already paid into the taxes. Mm-hmm. And then they're telling us we went to the legislative breakfast for the Plymouth Chamber of Commerce, which I'm on the board, right? Yep. And they're telling us don't pay the tax. But what about all those people that paid the tax?
Sure.
How are they going to get it back?
This week there was an announcement from a large tech company, I forget who it was, that said that they will be moving 700 jobs out of state.
And just so folks know, the voice you just heard a second ago, that's Joe Rossi. Joe Rossi is... finally joined us. Joe, welcome.
Long work day. Sorry, I was a little late.
And the voice before that, of course, Peter Brown, who is going to be our co-host until 7:30, who's not only are we going to get to speak with him and chat with him and find out about a number of things that he's involved with, not only being a businessman here on the South Shore, but the number of things that he is a part of. We'll learn more. And you're hearing a little bit of the political side. As I had asked him off air during the commercial break, what was his, because I know Dad is very much a conservative kind of a guy.
Yeah, exactly. He's a Republican.
But and somehow.
I'm an independent. So, now Democrat, because, I mean, it's just too far right now. This is ridiculous. I mean, there's no Ronald Reagans anymore. Mm. It's either a Ronald Reagan wannabe or, I don't know.
How did it come to be that you ended up working as part of for your dad? Yeah. How did it come to that? How was it?
This is the story of Tiny and Sons Class. Okay. You see, there was
got a sense of humor. I love
there
it.
Was three boys. There was three boys, and my
do
father,
we need some music underneath
no, no, no,
this?
Okay. No, this is even better. So my mom said to my dad, "Jim, when you come home, you have to take the kids, or I'm going to kill them." No, what happened was, is my father, my father worked a lot. So if we wanted to see him, we would ride with him. So if we rode with him, we had to work. If we didn't work, we had to sit in the car. And my father talks like he would not believe. Thank you. It's true.
You're going to help me with the glass.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Go get the caulking gun, quick.
No kidding. Get that screwdriver out of your pocket, buddy.
It was good, Larry.
So anyways.
Good timing.
Yeah, it's true. But the Godfather put us to work. And that's how we learned. And we started from Barrow's Junkyard in Hanson.
Oh, goodness.
Flippett's Junkyard. Goldie's Junkyard. Zioli's. Rodman's. Brockton Auto Parts. And Saturdays and Sundays, we'd cut out windshields and sell them for $25.
Oh, goodness.
And that's how we learned.
Wow. Mm-hmm. See, it's kind of odd because I can identify with that because my stepfather at a particular time actually had, he worked for Everett's mm-hmm. in Brockton.
Yeah, Everett's, yep.
And actually where Plymouth Automotive used to be, which was at the end of Thatcher Street, mm-hmm. he actually had like his own little junkyard. I mean, there wasn't really a sign there, but he used to do a lot of work with Everett's and whatever Everett's didn't want. Kind of like their overflow, he would go and he would pick up.
Right.
And he would fix it up and he would try selling it. I mean, it lasted for a couple of years, but, I kind of got into doing engine work and doing stuff with him by, you know, kind of hanging out. It was either hanging in the backyard with my two sisters or playing at the junkyard.
Well, that's the same thing with us, and that's how we learned. They used to pay us $4 a windshield to save them.
Wow.
And my brothers and I used to, the Barrows of Junkyard, especially in Hanson, right behind Shaw's, where they used to have the junkyard, he gave us a car to drive through the yards. So we'd drive it and cut windshields out and bring them back. But it got to the point where we would drive it into other cars, and my father would be paying for other cars before we get the windows out.
Oh,
so,
no.
So we didn't do that anymore. But but it was a great experience for us. I mean, that's how we learned. And from there, I mean, my father worked 3 or 4 different jobs, and we learned how to take care of ourselves and earn our own money when we were younger, and that's how we were stopped. So,
what was it about windshields that Dad, why did he want to do like general automotive care or anything like that? Was that like his niche?
We started at Pittsburgh Plate Glass in 1959, and he used to cut the glass. You know, they'd have patterns for him, and that was his job. He'd put it in a pattern and cut it to fit. When we moved to Pembroke, Clover Glass in Hanover, which is now Hanover Auto Works. That used to be a glass company there, and the guy hired him. Mm. He did all the flat work, and he learned how to do commercial work. So he started working there, and he worked for Settles for a while and Acme Glass, and decided to start his own business in 76.
How unique is it to be a small business owner and go up against some of the big companies and know that you can put a personalized touch instead of it just being some guy who's part of a big company in a van that's roaming around?
It's customer service. And
that's huge.
It is huge. And that's what we learned a long time ago, especially in the community for like Pembroke. Pembroke is very community-based and very loyal to local businesses. And as long as you do it right and do it fast and do it when they want it,
right,
and fix the problem if there's a problem that arises, you get work. And that's what we have to do.
Joe, do you have a question?
No, I think it's I am a small business owner, as we were discussing earlier myself, and I can definitely appreciate the localized touch that you guys put. I know I've gone to you guys before to have my insurance inspections done, because I know you guys do that also.
Right.
So, you know, it's been the service that you've given me and many, many others, I'm sure, is excellent. And it's really, it's great to have local-based companies in our communities, you know, like you guys, because I know you offer, and I'm sure we'll talk in a little bit, how much you give back personally to the community, all the different places that you are.
Mm. Well, it's funny, because when my father first moved into the town of Pembroke, the first people that showed up was the welcome wagon. The welcome wagon came in, a little basket of stuff, and then the next day, the fire chief showed up and introduced himself. Then the next day, the police chief shows up. Yeah. So, you know, they all introduced themselves and like that, and let us know that we're welcome to the community and stuff. And it was funny because a week later, my father got arrested. And they took him to the police station, and they said, "Now, we understand that you're about 6'6", right?" And he goes, "Yep." So they take out this Smokey the Bear outfit. And he became Smokey the Bear from 64 to, like, 69.
Really?
Yeah. So it was wicked funny. And they put him on the fire department as a call firefighter. But it was just the way the community was. And that's how, you know, we as a business have come to fruition. And now we give back as much as we can.
How did your dad get involved with here? Because, I mean, I know he's been advertising. You guys have been in advertising on this station for a number of years. And there's been so many enjoyable commercials, whether it's just him or now it's, you know, we get to hear you guys now.
Well, it's Bob Pakus. I mean, him and Bob Pakus came up with this whole advertising campaign, and it was funny because Bob, him and my father were talking. My Bob used to be a teacher at South Shore Tech,
and
they were talking about some of the kids that went through the classes that we used to know from bodywork and where it used to work for us. So that was how the ad campaign started, and it's just, we've been on the air with you guys for almost 25 years now, so it's awesome.
See, that's why I thought it was a cool thing when I saw you a couple of weeks ago. I said, love to have you come on. I know this is a fantastic community story that you guys have been a mere fabric of this community, and some of the stuff that you do and some of the work that you do. I mean, you're a board member for the Plymouth Boys and Girls Club. What got you involved with that?
Well, I was doing Marshfield and Plymouth at the same time, and what drove me to Plymouth was the GED classes. And I went to the person of the year. And they had 18 kids that went through the GED classes, and all 90% of them passed.
Wow.
And just the stuff that they do for the community, especially the teens and the mid-teen kids, it's just incredible. So I wanted to be involved in that. So
and what's some of the things that the board does? I mean, is it a matter of making sure that you have enough finances to be able to have let these kids be able to have an after-school program or programs for them to be a part of?
Corporate sponsors, after-school programs, sports, educational programs. Like right now, we're trying to raise money for a teen center that's going to be built behind the Boys and Girls Club. Placement, job placement, school placement, the whole nine yards. So. It's incredible what they do up there. I mean, the Marshall one's great, don't get me wrong, but the Plymouth one is just incredible.
And now, besides that, you're also a board member for the Talk Information Center.
Yes.
That's Reading for the Blind. How did you get involved with that?
We do a lot of fundraising with them and the golf tournaments and the wine tasting and stuff like that. And Jonathan Bond from Bond Printing had put my name in front of the board members, and they asked me to join, so I said yes, I would. And they do incredible work, and I just want to be involved in it.
Okay. And on top of that, I mean, you're a member of the Plymouth Chamber of Commerce and also Pembroke. How important are Chamber of Commerce's to communities like Plymouth or Marshfield or Pembroke?
Well, Plymouth and Pembroke is kind of on the edge of the South Shore Chamber and the Midtown Chambers, right? So what we did was Pembroke, I joined the Pembroke board about 5 years ago. And after I joined the Plymouth board, we talked about we merged them a little bit. We now take advantage of the Plymouth educational facilities and stuff. So it's been really good. So we're trying to grow Pembroke more as far as business orientated, get more tech people into the business, and just try to grow the town a little bit more.
I have to ask you. I mean, we talk politics for half a second. I mean, we get some big races coming up next year. We just heard that Martha Coakley's throwing her hat in the ring. She's going to run for governor. We heard that Steve Grossman's going to be running. So, I mean, there's two offices that have that immediately we're going to see some new faces in.
I don't want to say who I like or not like, but I heard, I've seen Steve Grossman speak, and I'm pretty impressed with him. So,
I said a long time ago Steve was going to be unstoppable in that governor's race, and I still hold to that.
Well, I think that he's done a nice job.
Yeah.
With a couple of things that impressed me right off the bat, and I'm somebody who I'm a party. I'm as far as I don't commit to a party because I like being neutral.
Right.
But for a guy who he's a Democrat who has done a lot to try to help the businesses and is very Commonwealth oriented, he took money out of the big banks and put him in the smaller banks to help them grow and for them to be able to lend stuff. I thought that was a phenomenal idea to do. We see what goes on with the big banks where they really, what they really could give, in my opinion, they could really care less.
Yeah, well, most notably, he also comes on this show once in a while. So exactly. I would say that's a pretty big plus in my book.
He's still overdue to come in studio and eat ice cream.
Yes. But, he's a little busy right now, I think.
Oh, absolutely. But he was due to be with us, I believe, in July. And just for some reason, we haven't made it come to fruition, but it'll happen. Mark my words. I will also tell folks that we are working to get... I believe it's a good possibility we're going to have Charlie Baker joining us in October.
Nice.
And he will join us for a show, and he'll talk. And we will stalk and hunt down every one of these gubernatorial candidates, and if they're running for an office, we'll get them on somehow, some way, to talk about, what it is that they're going to be able to do. But what are some of the things that you're looking forward to for next year? Being a business owner, what are some of the things that you're hoping... In regards to gets elected?
Well, whoever gets elected, I hope we have more road construction because that's good for windshields.
It's awesome.
I got to tell you, I was up
but in... But he's right, though.
I was up in Maine this past weekend, way up in the middle of nowhere, and the roads up there were all redone and better than the roads right outside this building here.
Windshield broken? I'm Tiny of Tiny and Sons Glass. Yes, your insurance company will pay.
Very nice. Very nice, Larry.
But it's true. It's I don't know what it is about Massachusetts, but you go over the border, except for New York and New Jersey, but you go over the border in New Hampshire, and the roads are like brand new. Mm. And you know when you hit Massachusetts. But anyways, next year I hope it's Steve Grossman. I mean, I think he'll be a good governor.
What's some of the things that you feel that we're lacking as far as up on Beacon Hill or in the corner office that we need more so than ever? I'm talking about, think of yourself. I mean, you're a business owner. What are some of the problems that you've been experiencing that you hope that maybe?
My experience is that the third-party administrating process that's going on, and all insurance, not just autos, and all insurance. And what's happened is the insurance company has found a way and made their own loophole to get out of paying claims. You know what I'm saying? So the law doesn't affect them because they've outsourced all these billing departments.
Right.
And I think if you're going to go to a doctor, or if you're going to go to a hospital, then the doctor should bill you. Well, the hospital should bill you,
right.
Not this company out of India or Ohio or Texas. And I think that's the biggest problem, and I think that needs to be fixed.
But I believe under this particular governor, we have found different ways to try to deal with insurance companies. I know that if it comes to, like, car insurance, do we not have somebody who kind of, that you have a division, that it's kind of been relocated, I believe, you know, as to like when we see insurance hikes for car insurance, you know, I mean, it was so much so that we have, competition now.
Right.
When it comes to insurance.
Actually, the rates have gone down, but what's happened is they've gone down on the backs of not the people that buy the insurance, but on the people who provide the service to fix the vehicles or anything that has to do with
so it affects your business exclusively,
exactly, or automotive or anybody in the automotive trade, anybody that does insurance with automotive, they've taken it out of us to get that policies down, and that's wrong, and the other thing about open insurance, like with certain big companies with the lizard and stuff like that. They have.
You did that well. That was good.
Well, what happens is that the people buy the insurance online. They don't know what they're clicking on. And they're getting half-year policies. So when they sign up for the half-year policy, they go to renew, the policy's doubled.
Right.
Or they have a $1,000 deductible they didn't know they had.
Right.
So it's just,
you figure that you're doing good business with someone. It's like almost like a scam within a scam.
Yeah, exactly. I know, and it's too bad. And it's not because people are stupid. It's because they've come across and they make it so sweet of a deal that they don't think about it.
Right.
Until they need to get a windshield or if they get into an accident.
Now, we had talked with the state representative about the tech tax and how that's being repealed. Did that almost have any kind of effect on your business at all?
Well, if they're going to tax labor, it would have affected everybody. So the first person, you know, the first thing they did is they got the tech tax in on labor. If that went through and nobody was paying attention, then they're going to be taxing you and me and everything else, or landscaping.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to drive the economy back into the old days where everything's cash.
Right.
And then it just hurts everybody.
Right.
But I don't know.
Joe, any questions?
So if you had to look for a governor on the other side, do you think Charlie Baker is a good choice, if any?
Wasn't he the only choice at the moment?
Well, I mean, if you really look at the original pool of potential candidates, you had Scott Brown. I mean, eventually he said he wasn't going to run yet. Charlie Baker.
We need Bill Weld to come back. We need Bill Weld.
But I believe Charlie Baker is he not of the Bill Weld ilk? He was part of that administration with him and Cellucci.
See, I think he would be a good governor, but the problem is the Republican Party as a whole is not
as organized as it should be.
Exactly. And they have a good side of the Republican Party, and then they have this other side that's so far to the right.
Right.
That
Do you think any of those all exist in Massachusetts?
I'm not commenting.
Remember, he's a business owner. He wants to stay on every, on the good side.
Well, it's I don't know. I think we're very lucky. We're Massachusetts. You go any place in the country, Massachusetts is all by itself. If for some reason the our political stature, our the way we do business, the way we take care of people is all by itself.
As a small business, are there policies nationally like Obamacare or locally, such as the new tech tax, even though we already talked about it, but things like that that are affecting you guys as a business, like immediately, like right now, that have already been enacted?
Well, our as far as a small business is workman's comp. Mm. That is the biggest issue that's going to kill small business.
Yeah.
Because they've changed the way the rates are figured, and small medium business like us, that's going to kill us.
Yeah.
Unless they rectify it.
Yeah, I have a I'm in ceilings as my sales. And I have a ceiling guy who has told me that he will not expand his employment for those very reasons. And it's a shame because, you know, he could grow the company to 25, 30 people, but he keeps it at 10 just to keep it at that cap. Mm-hmm. So you're right, it's things like that I think are hampering us a little bit.
So folks don't already know, we want to, as a reminder, we are speaking with Peter Brown. Peter, if folks want to find out more about Tiny & Sons, or if they want to enlist in the services of Tiny & Sons, how can they do that?
Well, they can go to tinyandsons.com. They can check us out on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You can look up my LinkedIn account, Peter L. Brown. Or you can just stop by the shop at 575 Washington Street.
Right across from Dairy Twist.
Right across from Dairy Twist.
Can't miss it.
Dairy Twist opens at 11:30.
Love this guy. He definitely will be in with us more often. He's staying with us to ask some questions. We got a couple of candidates who are going to be here who are looking for votes tomorrow. We're going to step aside for a moment. When we come back, more Monday Night Talk. We'll speak with Award 7 candidates. Don't go anywhere.
Dad, all these years you've been saying, I'm Tiny of Tiny & Sons Glass. My boys do a good job.
Well, you do.
Yeah, but we've never thanked you for saying so.
No thanks necessary.
Yeah, Dad, but I'm sneaking one in here.
You just ran out of time.
No, Dad.